It's the same thing with analyze. You'll see them in a little bit different questions there. So I think that's just helpful. Keep that creation, fall, redemption, and glory as you look at the article and then the Bible. But in analyze, it's we begin in some sense with humility. Ask yourself what helpful truths and perspectives you can benefit from. Before we write it off, are there things that challenge us here that we could grow from, that we could learn from? It'd be interesting in the article we come read to in just a second. Are there truths that we could say, yeah, I think that's good, maybe not completely, but also are there truths that you should reject or partial truths or untruths that when you say that's wrong, and we even need to learn how to speak to that. I'll just do the first couple, and then Joel can take it from there. But is there information that's missing? Are there definitions that are incomplete? Or are things left that were just, I wonder if there's something else that would fill that in and give a fuller picture? Sometimes that's intentionally left out, sometimes inadvertently. And then let's put it in a broader context. Where is this happening in terms of the history of the world? Are there other big movements that have been going on? Can we connect this to other articles or other truths that we've been looking at, other things we've learned in Sunday school or in the sermons? Causes and effects. Why is this happening? Is this just an isolated incident? And again, when we look at this article here, it's going to be very helpful to just think about not just this as an isolated island, but in the context of what's going on in the world, what's going on in the last 60 years, and how does that, in a way, make... This isn't a surprise to us, this island going crazy, my words, probably not the best words, but now there they are. It comes in a broader context, and we need to be aware of that, because it's not just an island far, far away, it's happening here in the States as well. So you want to take the next ones?
So what does the author want us to think, feel, or do? Not every article will have that. Sometimes they just present information. We might call it sort of pure journalism. It's just reporting. But often there's some kind of agenda. Maybe the author even thinks that they're just doing pure reporting and that they don't realize they're writing with an agenda, but we might see it there nonetheless. And sometimes an article is clearly persuasive or attempting to be persuasive to get us to vote a certain way or think a certain way or treat people a certain way. There might be a sense of sort of disparaging a group in a way that would make you want to go, well, I'm not a part of that group. I'm not like those whoever, sort of changing our behavior by implying that being a part of that group is bad. So we might have to look for those things again, dig a little bit. But when we ask, what does the author want us to think, feel, or do? That gives us a clear place that we can respond. Well, is that a right thing to think? Is that a true thing to think? Is it a right way to feel? Is that a biblical thing to do? Once we've clearly understood what it is that the article is advocating. And that's where we, of course, want to hold it up to God's word. So as we look at articles in the rest of this Sunday school, we're not exactly doing Bible study where we start with a passage and say, what does this say about our life? But rather, we're kind of looking at the world and saying, well, how does this compare to Scripture? So that we are, in a very real way, seeking to understand God's will and apply it. So we ask questions like the article's worldview, all those things about reality, are they true? The assumptions about how humans came to be, are those true? And if they are assuming one thing and we know something else to be true, then how does that affect our response to this article? Are there definitions that they give, terms like, say, equality or
tolerance,
progress, or other words like that, or hate, or love, mm-hmm. or the essence of what it means to be human? Do we need to reject or interact differently. Like, we just can't accept those terms the way they're used in that article or that whatever news source that we're talking about. Everything that we're talking about here doesn't have to just apply to a print article, right? Could be a podcast, something that we watch. Although if we have the text, then we can take longer to digest it and respond to it. The next part, is there anything here that I can affirm or be thankful for? Sometimes we need to look pretty hard for that. But that's an important step in terms of recognizing where we might need to grow, where we have something to learn or benefit from an opinion that is different from our own, or where we can, even if we disagree with our, what we might call our opponents, is there something there that we can affirm? Maybe they have the wrong conclusions, but a good motive. They want to do something good, but they're doing it the wrong way. Is there something we can learn, something we can be thankful for, something we can affirm? And that might be a good place to start before we say, is there anything here that I should reject or oppose or just dismiss or ignore? And then comes respond.
Right. We don't want to read news just for, we can read it for information. We don't want to read it simply for entertainment, but we're called to love our neighbor and out of that, and love God, right? Out of that, we ought to seek ways to respond. Sometimes there's no way to respond, and it wasn't actually worth our time, you might say, reading that article. We talked early on, maybe our first class, of how do we love our neighbor? One is praying for them. How can I pray about this situation or this situation, I just said that, or this person? What or who can I be praying for? Is there something I could do to better love my neighbor? As we read this article, we should be thinking about that. Is there a response that we ought to have or some way to slow down the secularization of the West? And how can we communicate well with our friends and community who may disagree? That's going to take a lot of thinking. It's going to take some reflection. How do I interact with somebody who's on a very different page in a kind way, a truthful way that will make them think? Maybe not convince them fully immediately, but putting a pebble in their shoe, as it were, to make them think about maybe there's more to this than I first thought. How can we respond? How should we respond in light of this article? So we kind of ran through that kind of quickly. We'll come back to these things other times, but we really want to begin just using them as a lens through which to read an article and kind of think it through. So I kind of don't want to pause for questions, just jump into the article, but maybe that's unkind. Do you have any comments you want to make, Joel, before we move on?
No, but if there are any questions, I think we probably could.
He opened that door. All right. Any thoughts or comments? With that kind of introduction, they feel like they're not allowed to ask questions. So,
I'm sure there will be interaction once we get into this article.
Yeah, so. Right. So tell us, Joel, I might be putting you on the spot here, but as we read this article, are there things that you want them to be thinking about already? Are we going to go through, like, first survey, and then we'll do observe things, and then analyze things, and finally kind of respond things?
I think so. We were talking about modeling this process. So we'll start by the survey, then observe, then analyze, and respond. So as we read through it, probably the first two would be the main things to keep in mind. What are the basics? Who, what, where, when, why, how? And then where do we see some of those assumptions about the nature of the world, loaded language? If you've got a pen or pencil, you may want to do a little bit of scribbling on your page as we read through it so that you can come back and find these things during the next stages.
If you need a pen or pencil, there's some on the usher table just outside, or prick your finger and, well, anyways, I didn't say that. All right, you want us to just read it? You want me to read the first half, you read the second half?
Sure.
All right. So let's just read through this. Malta, the tiny European island of tolerance. Inspired by a trailblazing transgender model, Malta has become one of the most accepting countries in the world in the past 20 years. It was a sweltering afternoon at Baluda Bay sometime in the late 1990s. Eager young journalist Ramona de Pares was celebrating her first job at a local magazine at the City of London, one of Malta's oldest seafront bars, when a woman walked in. "Everyone stopped talking, openly staring," de Pares said. I remember she was wearing her iconic massive black hat and a slinky black pantsuit. This was midweek, mid-afternoon, when everyone else was in flip-flops. But it wasn't only about her clothes. It was her aura. She behaved like royalty. It was difficult not to be entranced. This mysterious figure was international Maltese model and trans pioneer Katya Saunders, known to friends as Kaka. As De Paris would soon learn, Saunders' life was as compelling as her glamorous career. In the 1970s, she moved to London and transitioned. While in the 1980s, she was pictured in Vogue on the arm of Karl Lagerfeld, who did photo shoots in New York and modeled her fashion designers Charles and Ron, who still own a store in the Maltese capital, Valletta. Rumor has it she'd even hung out with David Bowie and Mick Jagger. After an introduction, De Paris and Saunders started chatting. "I asked whether she would give me an interview," said De Paris. "And for years, she played cat and mouse with me for this blessed interview, despite bumping into her at parties or fashion shows. She said she'd prefer to have her memoirs published instead." Eventually, Saunders disappeared from public life, having fallen upon hard times, as De Paris put it. Fast forward to 2019, and the journalist was in the Times of Malta's office when news of her death broke. "I wrote her tribute, thinking, well, at least she'd be happy to know that her death made waves across Maltese media." The pirates pictured her giggling away, enjoying the commotion that she was once again causing. Since then, Saunders' trailblazing life as one of Malta's first openly transgender public personas has been reappraised on an island that's seen remarkable changes in the last two decades. One of only five nations in the world to have made LGBTQ+ rights equal at a constitutional level, it has held first place for 8 years on the ILGA Europe Rainbow Index, which ranks countries on LGBTQ+ equality. After first visiting Valletta's hilly streets half a decade ago, I've been intrigued by this tiny island nation's unlikely rise as one of the world's most tolerant places. To examine how this happened, let's start by rewinding to the years after Saunders' birth in 1957. In 1964, Malta achieved independence after more than 150 years of British rule. The Brits had criminalized male same-sex relations, but as a republic, Malta legalized same-sex activity in 1973, with an age of consent of 16 equal to heterosexual sex. In 2001, the creation of the lobbying group Malta Gay Rights Movement, MGRM, helped usher in Malta's inaugural Pride March in 2004, as well as a national gay helpline. The pace quickened in the next decade. Malta was the first country in the EU to ban conversion therapy in 2016, when same-sex marriage was also passed, and the first European state to add gender identity to its constitution as a protected category. What was Malta's first Pride March like 20 years ago? "Not a big affair," said MGRM's Joe Grima. "It attracted between 50 and 100 people, whereas by 2023's EuroPride, 38,000 attended the march and concert headlined by Christina Aguilera. We could celebrate how far we came. The laws that safeguard equal rights are now a normal aspect of everyday life in Malta."
Those laws were not in place for young Saunders or other LGBTQ+ people of her era, however. As a result, the MGRM and Malta Council decided to celebrate her legacy by commissioning De Paris to write the book Katya, Easy on the Tonic, a nod to Saunders' favorite catchphrase, and curating exhibitions featuring her clothes, portraits, and accessories at galleries in Valletta, including at one of Valletta's historic cultural, hub, Spazio Creative. Another Saunders exhibit, which closed in 2023, was curated by multidisciplinary artists Romeo Roxman-Gatt and Charlie Cauchy. The duo also founded Malta's only LGBTQ+ gallery, Rosa Queer, in Balsan, a must for visitors, which showcases stories from the community and, quote, "challenges the norms and stereotypes," said Cauchy. For inspiration, they looked deep into Malta's queer history and discovered a fascinating tale predating Saunders by two centuries. "We named the gallery Rosa Queer after Rosa Mifsud, an intersex teenager from the town of Lucca, Malta, who fought for his right to be recognized as male back in 1774, Cauchy said. "He faced a legal battle that involved a medical examination and a ruling by the Grand Master who allowed him to wear only male clothes." Despite welcoming Malta's recent advances in tolerance, she said that, patriarchal views and structures still persist, and Malta is the only EU country where abortion is illegal. Grima also offered an honest take. To say it's perfect would be untrue. The scale of the EuroPride events attracted criticism, and Maltese law does not yet include an Equality Act, which would ban discrimination in the workplace. Unlike most of Europe, both PrEP, the drug taken to prevent HIV infection, and PEP, taken after a possible exposure to HIV infection, are only available at a cost. But the high ranking and recent progress mean that there is much to be excited about for queer visitors. For starters, you can stay at the LGBTQ+ owned boutique, hotel, and so on. The next couple paragraphs are just telling you places to visit. And I think we could skip some of that.
You just can't pronounce those names.
That's part of it. If we go to the second last paragraph, you'll see it's a little more of the same thing. And then the last paragraph is an important one. Other, what they call essential, stops on the queer trail include the aforementioned Charles and Ron. The couple married after being together 25 years when Malta brought in civil partnerships in 2014, which is the only LGBTQ+ owned fashion store in Malta, and the quirky Souvenirs That Don't Suck, which has stores in both Sliema and Valletta, selling, among other items, a popular range of queer t-shirts. In the north of the island, the Malta Chocolate Factory hosts LGBTQ meetups, while the Rainbow Library, Malta's first LGBTQ+ library, contains about 300 books from queer classics to zines. Contact MGRM before you visit. Here, of course, you'll find Saunders' biography. All in all, it's impressive progress for a country that also happens to be 94% Catholic. But without someone like Katya Saunders, said De Paris, the road to awareness would have been much longer. It's loaded, isn't it? So as we survey this, what would be the who? Okay, so there's Saunders is the right, the Maltese transgender model. Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay, that's a major figure in the article. Who else? Good. So that's the eager young journalist. Yeah.
Can I ask a different question?
Okay. That is something that we discussed, and something that we'll get to more in the respond category. But I think to some extent, we probably could have looked at the title where we see the word tolerance, made some assumptions about what this article is going to say, and just left it behind. But I think we will see some things here that are that make it worth reading, at least occasionally, something along these lines.
That's a good question. Yep. Filtering. So we're talking about the who. Do we ever know who the author is?
I left it out, as well as the okay. The source.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, so it's from BBC, the British Broadcasting Corporation, and I don't remember the author's name. So the where is fairly obvious. It's the first word of the title, so Malta. When? Is this like a one-time event, or is it just now? What might we consider the when in this article? Right, so to some extent, it's tracing the history of this movement up to the current moment, but the focus is on the current moment. What are things like there now? And especially the progress, I say in quotes, that's been made recently. And how about the why? why are these things happening there? Yeah, so partly trailblazing pioneers.
I think the why would be like that certain people who are feeling oppressed are experiencing freedom, according to the article.
Yeah. Yeah. Previously oppressive rules and norms are being relaxed, and progress is being made because people are learning more, right? People are realizing new ways of being or something like that. That's that, according to the article, again, without responding from our own worldview, that would be a lot of the why. Yeah.
Well, since I cheated, it's a vacation article. So this is really about, hey, if you are in this subculture, I'll put it that way, this might be a cool place to go visit. Mm-hmm. The same way the article in the United States could be written about San Francisco or you know, Providence, Massachusetts or wherever. So.
Yeah. Yeah, so observing the category of the article works as part of that survey too, and we'll talk about that more in the observe part, but I think we're probably ready to move there. That actually brings us to the who wrote it and why. You want to look at authorship?
You told us who wrote it, but yeah. We didn't know really before, but the why, I think, Brian, you kind of touched on that, of it seems like a tourist article, hey, come and visit Malta. But is there other why material? Are there any other purposes you see in why this author is writing the way they are? Yes, Brian?
Everything about the article is, this is all an act of good. This is all the way the world should be. These laws should be passed. That law should have happened. Mm-hmm. Aren't we all in agreement? It just assumes so much of the idea that, you know, we're much more advanced and accepting and tolerant than even the rest of Europe in many ways. And, you know,
right.
Yeah, and we could look too at where did they say there's still work to be done and what is that work to be done, right? Well, abortion is still illegal here, so we haven't made all the progress we should. There are still some backwards folk who need to be educated.
What about loaded language? Any? None?
Dave? Right. So it's right in the title, the word tolerance, and it comes up several times. What would be their definition of tolerance according to this article? Yeah. And not just saying, okay, you can live that way if you want to, but saying, yes, you are good. This is who you are, and you should celebrate it. That's tolerance according to the article.
And not being patriarchal or having these persisting structures from of old. So it's both sides of agreeing with them, but also being against these other things that they've named some of them.
Yeah. Colin, you...
Thank you.
Yep.
And then it sounds like that's what this is here. This is, again, very subjectively feelings-oriented, how it makes you feel, not what the actual facts are.
Good. So when we see the words trailblazing and pioneer, what do those terms, which are very purposely chosen by this author, what do they imply? How are they loaded? This Katia Saunders, the trailblazing and pioneer transmodel. Karen?
Well, for an American at least, trailblazing and pioneer would be a level of independence and ability to survive in harsh circumstances that you can achieve a life for yourself and others will follow you. So
okay, good.
That definitely conveys a very strong imagery.
So there's courage, there's strength. And you're paving a way that others will follow. Others will be glad because you took these first steps. How about the assumptions behind the word, a woman walked in, and the use of the word she throughout the article? Those are words that need definition, and we actually, even though they seem like they should have an obvious meaning, what they mean here is different, right? And we need to understand that. When we say a woman walked in, we're talking about somebody who was born as a man, but that's never acknowledged anywhere in this article. So that's just something to observe at the moment. Other loaded language, we see things like, we could celebrate how far we've come. So all these changes are progress. They're good things. Like Francis mentioned, the patriarchal views and structures, right? That's in the paragraph beginning with despite, right? That negative, like, there's still some bad stuff here, right? Patriarchal views and structures, such as abortion is illegal. But then we see in the next paragraph, recent progress, things to be excited about for queer visitors. Last line, or the last paragraph, it's impressive progress.
Right.
So lots of loaded language for us to notice. And what about the worldview? What do we see? Is there some underlying assumptions about what is reality? What is humanity? What is good or evil?
Yeah, Bruce?
Yeah. So that's kind of looking at what's the nature of good and evil. Those nasty
right.
Brits, mm-hmm. You know, put a bad label on something that's intrinsically good. Yeah, Daniel. Mm-hmm. All right, Jordan?
Thank you.
Yeah. So we've talked about what they present as right and wrong, good or evil. And what about the salvation they offer for the problem? Because they see the problem as intolerance, non-acceptance, patriarchal structures, antiquated laws about abortion, and so on. What do they offer as salvation? Katie? Right, that's another good place to point to. The language they use about those HIV drugs is, what are they thinking, not providing this to everybody for free? Right? That's part of the salvation that they're looking for. Right? That way anyone can sleep with whoever they want with no consequences whatsoever. That's the salvation that we're going for.
And legislation was another one that came out. We should legislate more. Where abortion is no longer restricted and so on.
And that we don't yet have an Equality Act.
Right, right.
And what would that involve, right? So other legislation that would be part of the salvation that they're looking for. Betsy? Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, when they say Malta is one of only 5 countries who, you know, well, why is everyone else so backward?
So we're right about that time, Joel, and I'm not sure if we want to come back to the same article next week or not. There are some things that I think would push us. What are some things that we can affirm in this article or learn from? Another one that we talked briefly on the phone about was just, what's the view of a person here? Can you divide or contrast body and mind, if you will, and how does that clash? And that may open doors for how do we respond. There are some things that I think would be really helpful to discuss as a class of how do you critique this, and then how do you engage with others who may line up with this thinking, and how do you do that in a constructive way? So I think we probably ought to pause now. Do you have a cliffhanger to leave them on of come back next time for?
So I agree. I think we probably don't want to come back to this article again. I wonder if we could take just a few seconds to come back to Bruce's question of, is there anything that was worthwhile in this article at all that could help us love our neighbors or something that gives us any kind of positive response?
Well, just for time's sake, I'm going to say, okay, so answer that, Joel. One that comes to mind is, have you prayed for Malta recently? Oh, so there's at least that here. Let's pray for Malta and the whole movement, the LGBTQ+ movement and agenda. That's one way that we can learn from this article. Might not be my top reading list, but that's one benefit.
Yeah, if we're going to history, again, really briefly and correct me if I'm wrong, but Malta was once a very pagan place where they worshipped the Greek gods, and but there happened to be a shipwreck there with some Christians, and the whole island was turned around and a church was planted, and God can make changes in a culture, and we could pray for that again.
We can go here perhaps another time, but just understanding worldview of that division between what I think is separate from how I've been created or made. And when that's so common in our worldview, in the world, where they're opposed to each other. And if you feel like a woman, doesn't matter what your body is, that your feelings dominate. And I think that's a way you could enter into engaging with somebody else constructively, instead of hitting this exact, what do we think about Malta, but what do you think of that body-soul division?
Mm-hmm. And just to wrap up really quickly, we wouldn't need to read every article that comes this way. If we genuinely have an understanding of where our culture is going in this regard and what the worldview is underlying it. But if you've never been exposed to this, if your first time understanding those definitions of what is tolerance, what's progress, what is the evil love, patriarchy, this whole worldview, if you're trying to talk with somebody at work or with a neighbor or a family member and they're talking in this way, and that, and you've never been exposed to that worldview, you don't understand the perspective that they're coming from, it makes it really hard to engage with them. But this is one of those things where it can help us be prepared to give a response, right? Be prepared to engage with the ideas that are around us and present a biblical alternative because we've thought through it, right? If we do this analysis and we think about a biblical response, we're not caught flat-footed, we're not caught off guard, and we can respond compassionately, lovingly, accurately, and with preparation because we've taken that time. And that step that we didn't take time for, but what can we even affirm there? Is there anything in this at all that we could say, we have common ground here, we both want dignity for people, though we're seeking it different ways, and I believe the way you're seeking someone's dignity is maybe actually going to do the opposite, right? Is there any common ground, that kind of thing?
Right.
But now I've pushed us well past our time.
You have.
So, shall we pray?
Yep. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you that we could spend some time thinking together. We ask you that you'd help us as we engage with all that comes our way to be thoughtful, to be biblical, to be courageously truthful and yet kind, but not kind without vigor. Give us opportunity and help us know or discern the best way to respond and use this class to further each of us in that regard. We pray as well for the worship service coming. We ask you that you'd refresh us, build us up, challenge us. And Father, more than all those things, meet with us. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen.